Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. Pastor Kyle Horner is away this week. He'll be back soon. Our guest coming up is Philadelphia Eagles running back Boston Scott. We're going to hear from him next segment. Boston is a 5 foot, 6 inch football player, so he heard plenty of doubt because of his size, but he worked really hard throughout his career. He didn't believe the naysayers, and he fulfilled what is any kid's dream growing up and wanting to play football, and that is getting to the NFL. So when I asked him about it, I love what he said. I always tell people, yes, it's cool to prove the doubters wrong, but I do what I do to prove the people that believe in me right. And I think love you and that. I have both had a lot of people in our lives doubt us and want to right. say, hey, you can't do this or you shouldn't do this. And especially for you growing up in Egypt, how difficult it is, one, to even get to this country. Right. I don't know if you even imagined that at a young age.
No, absolutely not. I could never imagine something like that. You can never really, you know what I mean? Like, it's not somebody's dream to be like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to just like migrate to a different country. It's not something that you think about much. But when it happens, God just uses everything. He uses the good, the bad, the ugly. So it's all good.
Yeah, and everything that we go through, no matter what it is, at what point in our lives, I believe is whether it's a mess that we create, we can eventually use it as a message. Whether it's adversity, we can overcome it. And I love what he said there. I really do. The fact that I'm not trying to prove all these doubters wrong. I just want to prove the people that believe in me right. And no matter who we are, what we do, if we're concerned about trying to prove ourselves to other people, I think we're going about it all wrong, because that's not lasting. That's not going to be fulfilling. We can't be constantly thinking about what people are saying about us, because some people are going to love us. Some people are just not going to like us. Some are going to be jealous of us. And whatever it is, if we get caught up in that, we're really taking our eyes off what's most important. And that's not what people say about us or how they feel about us. But what's most important is pleasing God and living up to His expectations and fulfilling what His vision and plan is for us. One of my favorite Bible verses, Galatians 1:10. And in Galatians 1:10, Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Mm-hmm. Or am I trying to please people? Mm-hmm. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And we've talked about this verse often here on this show. I really love this verse and the context in this chapter. So Paul is writing what is really one of the angriest letters that he's written. And it's because some of the members of the Galatian churches are trying to attack his credibility.
Right.
And they're saying that he's not preaching the truth, and they're spreading a different gospel, the one in which they were saying you can earn salvation. And it's a works gospel that they were trying to preach. And meanwhile, Paul is preaching salvation through grace. And he spoke truth, even if the truth that he's speaking irritated the people who didn't want to hear it. Right. And he wasn't afraid to alienate them. Paul's priority wasn't winning friends. His priority wasn't being popular. He didn't care about if he was living in this day and age. He didn't care about likes. He didn't care about shares. Right. He didn't care about retweets. He didn't care about his Instagram following or his Twitter following or his Facebook. His priority was spreading the good news to as many people as possible. And it didn't matter to him if they were if they weren't pleased to hear it and they opposed his views. That's why he's going back to, am I trying to win the approval of human beings, or am I trying to be a servant for Christ? Because he says, if I'm trying to please people, I can't be a servant for Christ. And how often do we go through this in our daily lives, and for everyone out there, how often do we go through this where we're faced with, am I trying to be liked by other people?
Yeah.
Because being liked by other people oftentimes may steer you away from God's word and living out God's plan.
Right. So it's now more than ever that it's very hard to identify who you really are. The problem is a lot of us have an identity crisis. And social media doesn't necessarily make it easy on anybody because every time you open social media, there is the new this, there's a new that, see who's this, see who's that. And then you think that because you're watching somebody's highlight reel, you think that that's really their true self and that's their true life. No, it's really not. And you never really know what you're watching and what you're seeing, if it's really true or not. You're just watching the highlight of somebody's career or the highlight of somebody's life. To get there, you weren't there when they were struggling. You weren't there when they were doing the hard work behind the scenes. You only saw the good stuff. So don't compare yourself to somebody's high point and tell yourself, oh, I'm a loser or I'm this or I'm that because I'm not there yet. This person took 10, 15 years to get to this highlight reel, to get to this point of their life. So don't sit there and say, no, my start point doesn't match their end point, and therefore this or that. Comparing ourselves is such a dangerous, dangerous zone. And what happens is when you don't know your identity, you end up losing yourself, because then you're comparing yourself to this illusion that the enemy put in front of you, that there's a golden line that you have to meet, that there's something that you have to do to get, and when you get there, you're going to be happy. The problem is that line always moves and always changes. That line does not stop. It doesn't stop when you get to a millionaire. It doesn't stop when you get to a billionaire. It doesn't stop when you get thinner. It doesn't stop when you get happier. It doesn't stop anywhere. The line always inches. When you move up, it moves up with you because the enemy always does that. He just has the shiny object syndrome in front of you and tells you when you get it.
Shiny object syndrome.
It really is a shiny object syndrome. And when you get it, that's when you're going to get happy. I'm here to tell you, the shiny object doesn't exist. It is an illusion that the enemy put in front of us to make us feel that we're not enough, that we are not sufficient, that we don't have anything that we need to be happy right in this moment. But when you meet with Jesus face to face and when you give your life to him, that shiny object syndrome doesn't ever exist in front of you anymore, because you're no longer comparing to yourself to a shiny object. You're seeing yourself as this pure child of God, that God loves you just the way you are. It doesn't mean that there is no room for improvement. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that you are loved just the way you are. There is no more striving. There is no more, when I get this, I'll be happy, or I'm going to obtain joy when I have the car or when I have the house. It just means that I'm happy right in this moment, and God is pleased with me right in this moment. He just wants to work on me to get to be more and more just like him.
The idea of seeing other people's success or seeing other people's, like you said, highlight reel, and then focusing on trying to compare yourself to what they've accomplished or the illusion of what, in some cases,
it's an illusion.
In some cases, we don't know what's happening. And nowadays with filters and everything else, you're looking at it.
And
you're
looking at fake it till you make it group.
Yeah, you're looking at a picture of somebody and you don't know if it's what's been done to it. And that's why I feel exactly what you're saying is if we're always trying to live up to other people's expectations for success, or if we're always trying to live up to the standards of the world for what makes you valuable, you'll never find happiness. You'll never find pure joy. You'll never find that peace in your heart because, like you said, that line, that it keeps moving. It keeps changing. Yeah. And what did you call it? The shiny object syndrome. The real shiny object, the real end result, end goal. Like what I want to see is heaven shine, right? Heaven shine and the glory of being with our Savior in the kingdom forever for eternal life. As far as what Boston was saying, I'm not trying to prove people wrong.
Right.
I just want to prove the people who believed in me right.
I love it.
We have no matter who doubts us, there is always the one who believes in us.
Yes.
God believes in us through Absolutely. Our through all our faults, mm-hmm. through all our sins, through all our mistakes.
Yeah.
Some of us may not have been raised in a family where we have supportive parents.
Right.
And that's unfortunate for a lot of people out yeah. there. They didn't have, I'm blessed to have supportive parents who yes. always believed in me. Mm-hmm. I feel you did too as well. But there are some people who don't have a father figure or a mom, or she might be a single mom trying to work. And it's a difficult life growing up, and they don't have anyone encouraging them,
yeah.
believing in them. Maybe along the way there's a teacher. Maybe yeah. there's a coach. Maybe there's someone, depending on what it is, who comes alongside them and says, hey, you can do this.
Yeah.
And while we're looking for that earthly support mm-hmm. and motivation, and it's crucial that we have that, I feel like if we can allow people to understand that the one who believes in you,
mm-hmm.
who will never leave your side, who will never doubt you, and has already forgiven you for mm-hmm. your transgressions and the mistakes you're going to commit next week and next year and next month, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we're trying to think about, yeah, it's great to be motivated, because all of us get motivated by somebody saying you can't do something, right? It's just human nature. When somebody says you can't do this, or you will not accomplish this, or you can't achieve this, oh, I'll show them. It's human nature.
Yeah.
But if we take a step back and say, if I do this and go about life the way God's vision for me is,
yeah.
and I'm living to please Him, everything else is going to fall into place.
Yeah.
There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be success. There's going to be failure.
Yeah.
But He's got my back, and I don't have to live up to what the world's expectation of success is. Mm. I can just go about my life and go about my business doing everything I can, as hard as I can and as best as I can, knowing that He's always there for me.
Listen, it's hard. It's really hard when you see someone doing something that you really wanted to do, or somebody out there or a friend or something is doing something and that's like your dream job or your dream whatever. And you're like, how did they get here? I've been grinding for like a few years now and yeah. nothing. And then this person, and I mean, I fell in that trap a lot, and I actually fell in a trap of, and this can sound like interesting, but you compare yourself and you compare your Christianity to even someone that's secular, and you say like, man, I'm walking with God, I'm doing everything He wants me to do, but look at this person's not even walking with God, and look what they're achieving.
Yeah.
And it gets to you, and it gets like, oh, come on, Jesus, like, is this my prize for following you? Like, it's not, it's a trap.
It is
nothing but
trap.
A trap. And God is saying, and this is actually like, I love this. I always say this to myself, and I always say to you as well. And if you know me, you've heard me say this. Stay in your lane. Mm. Don't look left. Don't look right. Just stay in your lane. Whoever is going somewhere else, that's not your lane.
Whether
your
they're
lane,
blowing by you on a highway
exactly.
going a million miles an hour on,
exactly.
on the ladder of success, or they're stuck behind you.
Yeah. Stay in your lane. Focus on where God has you. And you know what? If they're already there and they've already got their prize and their shiny object, good for them. Bless them. Bless their journey as well. But the thing is, if you fall in a trap of jealousy and comparison, you will actually fall out of your lane, and you're not going to continue. Your lane
That's
is going to
so
stop
true.
Right there, and you're going to end up going in the jealousy lane, and that jealousy lane is a dead end lane. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go any further than just being jealous. You're not going to keep going. You're not going to achieve anything.
It's going to hold you back.
It's going to hold you. That's what I'm saying. It's a dead end road. You're yeah. not going to go anywhere. So keep focused, because I always tell myself, stay focused, you know, just bless the people ahead of you, bless the people before you, bless the people right beside you. And that's just the way to do it. Stay in your lane.
You bring up an interesting comparison point, because sometimes I feel in the world of Christianity, there are some who feel it's a competition
uh-huh.
when
mm-hmm.
we're all in it for the same reason.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
all
yeah.
in it to increase the kingdom,
right.
to be fishers of men and women, and to bring people to know the good news and,
right.
and spread the light and shine the light of Christ.
Right.
And it sometimes I'll be honest, sometimes when I see that there's competition mm-hmm. in Christianity, it kind of bothers me. And I sit there and I'm like, but we're all like, we're playing for the same team.
Right.
But then at the same time, if to compare it, to put it in a sports perspective, of course, sometimes guys on, right? Sometimes when you're on, some guys on a team, you know, you want to be the best player on the team. Right. You want to make the biggest contract on that team. Right. You want to be the superstar on that team. And maybe another guy on your team is having more success, or he gets his money first. And there may be some jealousy there. And we're all human. So mm-hmm. I guess I can understand it, and even though it bothers me a little bit, but that goes back to that's where the enemy tries to slide in, and he tries to divide, and he tries to divide and create division. I want to talk a little bit about this, too, from the aspect of if you're trying to please people mm-hmm. and you're focused solely on that so much, it's really hard to be a servant of Christ. And I think a lot of athletes oftentimes with a big platform mm-hmm. are – and I'm a very appreciative of every one of them who comes on this show, and I thank them for it and Absolutely. Their willingness to share and their willingness to be bold. Yeah. But there are some out there who are a little reluctant mm-hmm. to be so open about their faith because they're concerned about alienating, whether mm-hmm. it's brands, mm-hmm. Sponsors, right. marketing, advertising, and they're concerned about their own brand so much so that they don't want to alienate anyone else.
Right.
But this goes back to what Paul's talking about. Like if you are trying to live your life to please other people, you really can't be a servant for Christ because everybody's not going to like you. And we've heard Pastor Kyle talk about this before. Like if everybody likes you, you could be doing something wrong.
I would have to say, yeah,
you're right. Wrong. If yeah, everybody likes wrong. You yeah. because being a Christian and trying to shine the light and spread mm-hmm. the word mm-hmm. sometimes involves saying things that people don't want to hear. Like Paul here in Galatians 1:10 is saying things they don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. And we go through that. And I want to encourage people to not be afraid. Sometimes we do take up, as Christians, we do take up a fight that will cause more division and cause more people to frown upon Christians and say you're being hypocritical. So there's a fine line you have to walk. But at the same time, you have to maintain your principles and your values.
Right.
So that's one of those areas where I know you're not afraid to do it. I know I'm not afraid to do it. It took us some time to be
always able, like that.
Yeah, it took us some time to be able to get to a platform, to build a platform where we're ready to be there and we're open and out front. And I've talked about it before, how many times I've been told in the past, you shouldn't have a picture of Jesus Christ on your social media.
I mean, hello, we basically, I don't want to say give up because it sounds like I give up a shiny object, but there's, but I'm just saying like,
shiny object
syndrome. The shiny object syndrome, it makes you feel like you missed out on something. Yeah. I know that God has a plan for my life. And if it started on TV, great. And if it's going to end on TV, fantastic. But I am no longer holding that shiny object and saying, oh, I let this go for God. It's more like, this is God's plan for me. And if he wants me to go back, fantastic. If it doesn't, fantastic. But a lot of people would say, oh, so you missed out on this, you missed out on that. I didn't miss out on anything. I really don't feel like I used to feel like I missed out on a lot.
I don't call it missed out. I call it passed up.
I really did. Yeah because
I said, hey, there's power in saying no.
Yeah,
there is so much power in being able to, when people come to you with offers that look so good to the world,
right?
And you say, no, I'm not interested because that's not who I am.
Right. And then when they tell you backstage, like, hey, no more of this God talk, that's it right there. I mean, thank you very much. It's no longer a shiny object in front of me. It's more like the devil is dangling.
You'll never forget that term.
No, I will never forget that term.
You will never forget when a producer walked up to her right before we went on stage for a live shoot. No more God talk.
No. Like,
actually, you're wrong. He said, no more talk about Jesus.
Yeah, he said something.
We were... Like, it, You could say God, but don't say Jesus.
Yeah.
Remember that?
You can say God, but don't say Jesus.
So and we were like,
yeah, from that moment on, I was like, yo, I made the best decision of my life. I'm done. So, you know, God always has a plan. And this takes me back to my point previously when I was saying, like, when you look at somebody's life and it looks so perfect, you don't know what they give up.
Oh, gosh.
You guys, you don't know what they get. They
and also, look at all these celebrities who are, whether they're entertainers or who've committed suicide, unfortunately, who have addictions.
Right.
That's why it's so scary to compare yourself to anyone else, because I don't care what somebody has on the outside. It's what you have, what's going on in your life, what's going on in the inside. And when you have that peace of Jesus Christ, you have what you need.
Yeah, seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added to you. And we're not sitting here saying, like, all this stuff is bad or the shiny objects are bad. No, they're not bad. There's nothing about that that's bad. The kingdom of heaven is all gold and pearls and silver and diamonds. We're not saying that we have to live a cheap life or we have to live like this awful. No, we're not saying that. We're just saying don't be fooled.
That's an entirely different episode that we should do at some point. Sometimes there is, and I know Pastor Kyle would love to be involved in that one, where there's a notion in the Christian community where you have to live average means, and you and then they will look upon another Christian who may be spending money lavishly or has a lot, isn't in lack. Like, you should live in lack rather than live in abundance, and that's a whole different.
I know it's a whole different episode, but
nobody gonna tell you to live in lack.
No, nobody's gonna tell you to live in lack. And actually, Jesus Christ is all about increase. And if he's not about increase, you're just seeking the wrong God, because he's all about increase. Jesus is about increasing you, increasing your life, increasing the kingdom. That is
most
all
importantly increasing him.
Increasing him in this world. So back to my point. Back to the point. When he was saying that he's pleasing or approving the right people.
Boston.
He was saying he's
which trying, and we're gonna hear that coming up soon.
I love that. And just get your team. Get yourself a team. And be proud of that team. And don't try to, like, prove anybody else right. Don't try to prove people wrong. Just do your own thing and be in your own path and do your own thing that God called you to do, because he called you to do something, and that is all that matters.
Up next on Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, we're going to hear from Philadelphia Eagles running back Boston Scott.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
To Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Remy Motti. Pastor Kyle is off this week. If you've missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show that we've done since this show began in 2017. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We are also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure to also follow us at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'm going to be doing various speaking appearances. I have one coming up in November in Reading. We'll get you that information soon. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. has been incredible. It's an awesome restaurant, great food. They have just an incredible atmosphere there. They have a brand new 75-inch screen to watch the games. Just a great spot to hang out and exceptional people. I'll be there every Tuesday night, 6 to 8, so make sure you come out. Sports talk, trivia, giveaways, prizes, special guests. It's just a great time. October 10th, I'm going to be hosting and emceeing an event for the Parksburg Point featuring Tim Tebow. It'll be at Octorara High School in the auditorium at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at thepoint_timtebow.eventbrite.com. Tickets are limited and you cannot get them at the door. We do have a pair of tickets to give out as for someone to win free tickets. So go to our new contest page on faithonafieldshow.com. There's a form, just fill it out and we're going to reach out to you via email. And we'll also announce it probably in the next week or so, who won those tickets to the Tim Tebow event. So go to faithonafieldshow.com, go to our contest page, fill everything out. This week's episode is brought to you by Restelli Foods Group. Restelli Foods is an industry leader supplying the finest hotels and restaurants with the highest quality foods, and the Restelli family has complete ownership of the production process, hand trimming, processing, and packing in their state-of-the-art South Jersey facility. Get the highest quality meats and seafood from this family-owned company right to your door. Visit Restelli.com today. Use code FOTF for $15 off your first order. You'll get the best with Restelli's.com. That's Restellis.com. Our guest, Boston Scott from the Philadelphia Eagles, was actually my guest at Center Square Tavern last week. He was a sixth-round pick by the New Orleans Saints in the 2018 draft. He was on the Saints practice squad until the Eagles signed him in December 2018. So he was still with the Saints when they beat up on the Eagles last November, 48-7, and then ended up returning kicks against the Saints in a playoff game, which the Eagles lost in New Orleans in January. Here is that interview with Boston Scott. Boston, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Boston, we appreciate you taking some time out to be here with us, and we're going to just kick off the show talking to you. Now, you were a six-round pick by the New Orleans Saints 2018 draft. You were on the Saints practice squad until the Eagles signed you last December. You were still, though, with the Saints when they whipped the Eagles, right, in the regular season.
Yeah, I was there. That was a game, man. I remember that game vividly, man. In that game, there were a lot of injuries to the Eagles. And coming in, I saw how many players they had on IR at the time, man. And really, for them to make it as far as we did whenever they ended up signing me, that says a lot about the organization, says a lot about the team. So it's cool to be here now.
So you end up signing with the Eagles in December, and then you're returning kicks against the Saints in the playoff game where you guys jump out to a 14-0 lead. Before we get into this season and week one, what was that whirlwind of a rookie season like for you where you're drafted by your hometown team? You went to Louisiana Tech, right? And you get drafted by your hometown team. You get to spend some time with Sean Payton, Drew Brees. Drew Brees is one of the all-time greats. Then you come to Philly, defending Super Bowl champions. It had to be an up-and-down type of inner kind of like feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching the Saints. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I was always a Saints fan, so it was, you know, it was a dream to make it to the NFL, to be a part of the Saints for the time that I was there. You know, a lot of people hear a lot of things about Drew Brees and the media and things like that, but he's probably one of the most phenomenal individuals I've met in my life.
He's the real deal, isn't he?
He's the real deal, man. Great man of faith, but he's a true professional. And to be around that organization, I mean, there are plenty of guys that were there when I was there. Benjamin Watson, a lot of guys that are well known in the NFL community, and it was a blessing to be there for the time that I was there.
I had Benjamin Watson on his Faith on the Field, a strong believer, strong man of Christ, and to have a guy like that walk around a locker room with what the pedigree that he brings. Did you get at all any opportunity to maybe sit down with him and just get some advice from him? He's a dad of, like, I don't know how many kids he's got.
He's probably got an army of seven now.
Right? He just had twins.
Yeah.
You ever get a chance to sit down and talk to Benjamin?
Oh, definitely. Anytime I could, man, I was trying to sit down and talk to him just to pick his brain. You know, he's been through a lot. He's been a part of a lot of teams. You know, so I was trying to soak up as much wisdom as I could. And, man, he had plenty to say. Very intelligent individual. You know, he's very involved with, you know, social issues, and you know, I have a lot of respect for him. So whenever I got a chance to, I was having a conversation with him.
As soon as you got here last year, a lot of us in the media compared you immediately to another veteran guy, a great guy, a great dude, Darren Sproles. Now, you know, because you both are running backs, you both return kicks, and you're not 7 feet tall, you're not 6 feet tall, right? Yeah. So what is it like to be in a locker room with a guy like Darren and hear people compare you to him as somebody who could eventually take his role?
Well, I've been watching that dude since Kansas State, you know, college. You know, I've done a lot of research on his film, you know, because people would always say before I really got to know who he was whenever I was younger, you know, playing in high school and things like that. They're like, man, you look just like Darren Sproles and this and that. So I decided to do a little bit more research for myself. And, man, just to be able to be in a locker room now with him, you know, he played for the Saints for a little bit. So
yeah,
seeing him on my favorite team. And, man, it was just, I'm like, dude, that guy is it. You know, and I talk about it before, he really gave guys that looked like me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because before, you know, they would overlook guys that looked like me, saying he's too small. You know, he wouldn't be able to take hits. But for him to be in the league now 15 years, that's a testament of his work ethic and proving the doubters wrong for a long time.
Talk to me about that a little bit, because I'm sure growing up throughout your life and throughout your career, people doubted you because of your size. What did that, for some people, that can get ingrained in their head and they go a different direction. Did it motivate you?
Yeah.
What did it do?
I think it motivated me, you know, I think it motivates you to a certain extent, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, when you do achieve what you want to achieve, where are the people that say you couldn't do it? You know, they're nowhere to be found. So I always tell people, you know, yeah, it's cool to prove the doubters wrong, but I do what I do to prove the people that believe in me right. You know, so that's kind of the mindset that I have adopted, and that's kind of how I move.
Well, that's kind of like a mindset that's a little biblical, and we'll get into that a little bit, because I know you're a believer, you're a brother in Christ, and we appreciate that about you too as well. And we do appreciate who you are, not just who you are on the field, but who you are inside as a man of Christ, as a believer. And on your social media, I noticed the Bible verse, Joshua 1:9, which is a favorite of a lot of athletes. Philippians 4:13 is a favorite of a lot of athletes. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What is the significance of that Bible verse to you?
So, you know, that's stuck with me for a long time, you know, because I've definitely been through a lot of adversity. I was a walk-on at Louisiana Tech, and there were a lot of times where I faced adversity with injuries, you know, with not playing. And I feel like in the league, you know, it's a revolving door. You could be in, you could be out. You know, it's all based on your performance. How you perform on the field kind of dictates, you know, how people see you, how people view you. But I know that, you know, at the end of the day, no matter if I'm the best football player or if things don't even work out with football, you know, I know that regardless, you know, God loves me for who I am, you know, and that's not going to change, you know, regardless of what happens to me. So, you know, whether that's, you know, stepping on the field, whether that's in life, I know that no matter what I go through, he's always going to be with me no matter what. So, you know, that's why I carry myself with confidence. That's why I'm strong. You know, that's why I am courageous, because that's what he's commanded us to be, because he's going to be with us.
He doesn't want us to be weak. He doesn't want us to be meek. He doesn't want us to be timid. He wants us to be courageous. I know this locker room, and in a few minutes I'm about to give you a book that I wrote about this team and the Super Bowl championship season and how their faith impacted those guys. Are there guys on this team that you've been able to get closer to, guys that maybe you can be accountable with, guys who you can maybe be vulnerable with sometimes, guys who can uplift you when you need that? Yep. Have you been to the Bible studies with Pastor Ted and sat in on those sessions?
Yep, and it's really cool to see, you know, not just players, but coaches and people that are involved in administration, you know, take part in the Bible studies and the chapel. And like I said, there's a great nucleus of guys on the team that believe, and Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz, Greg Ward. Like, there are guys that I can continue to name that are there consistently, and I know that there are guys there that I can, you know, confide in. And if I have something come up in my life, you know, because they understand at the end of the day, we are playing a game, you know. But the bigger picture here is, you know, we're on a mission, and that's to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And we do that using our platform, you know. So we understand that that's the main objective for us as followers. You know, so I know that I can talk to those guys about anything like that whenever something like that comes up.
Hey, man, I love that you recognize the platform that you've been given and the responsibility to spread the gospel, to spread the good news. Now, given the spotlight that you're in and the platform you're on, people look for us to fail. Mm-hmm. See, when I put stuff out there, I do a show and I put stuff out there about my faith, I know I got to walk my talk.
Yep.
So, and it's hard, man. Mm-hmm. Like, life is hard. Things happen. Sometimes you're not feeling it. Does it make you, being in the spotlight, being a professional football player on a team that won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, maybe work a little bit harder to maintain your testimony?
Yeah, definitely, because I know, you know, that people are always watching.
Yeah.
You know, people are always watching. And needless to say, you know, that shouldn't be the main concern for you. Oh, these people are watching, so I got to make sure that I'm, you know, goody-goody-two-shoes
right,
Christian.
Right. But at the end of the day, because you don't want to be phony. You got to be genuine.
Right, exactly. But at the end of the day, you know, you have confessed, you have proclaimed that you're a follower of Christ. So people are going to be looking to you to walk that walk. You know, so you have to really make sure that that's something that you prioritize, and you have to be careful about how you carry yourself, you know, because the slightest thing can throw people, you know, you just got to be real careful, especially on the level that you are and the platform that you do have.
Well,
so
in this day and age, there's a lot of people who look at Christian athletes as hypocrites sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's extra important to make sure we're walking the right way, maintaining our walk. And Boston, man, we really appreciate you coming out here from Philly, spending some time with us here at Center Square Tavern, Woolwich Township, New Jersey. That was Philadelphia Eagles running back Boston Scott. The interview was brought to you by Rastelli Foods Group. Check them out at rastellis.com. That's rastellis.com. I enjoyed that conversation with Boston, a great guy. We'll talk about the interview when we come back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. Pastor Kyle Horner will be back next week. We just heard from Eagles running back Boston Scott. It was a really honest, open interview, and I enjoyed the conversation with him. We talked a lot of football. He's out there. He's at Center Square Tavern, so we talked football first, and we talked about the game and his career and the ups and downs. Like I said, he's a shorter guy. He's 5'6". It's tough, man, when you're that size to be told throughout your life, like, you're too small to play football, and he just overcame all those odds. He makes it to what is the pinnacle, to the NFL. And there's a lot of different things that he has talked about in this interview that I want to highlight. And one of those, and we talked earlier in the show about proving not the doubters wrong, but proving those who believe in you right. And I said that the one who always believes in you, who's never going to turn his back on you no matter what, whether you had a father figure, a strong mother in your life or not, the one is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said he's been through a lot of adversity, and there were times that he had to deal with injuries where he felt like in the NFL, you know, it's a revolving door. You get in, you could get beat out. And he's on the practice squad for the Eagles. And life on a practice squad is guys get cut, come back, they get cut. They're not guaranteed. They're really living week to week. So it's difficult. And he said, and this is very, for a young guy, It's a very mature statement. If I'm the best football player, or if things don't even work out with football, I know that regardless, God loves me for who I am, and that's not going to change. And that's powerful. And that's powerful for everyone out there. He, at a young age, understands that whether his life and his future is going to be in the NFL, or even if it's not, whether we're considered successful or whether we're struggling, living paycheck to paycheck in life. No matter what, God loves you for who you are. There's so much comfort in that, and I feel like often we don't seek the comfort from the people who we seek comfort from people, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not seeking the comfort where it ultimately will give us that peace and joy.
We seek comfort too in our bank accounts, and we seek comfort in our earthly possessions because we feel that if we have that, we're set. Yeah. But God knows that can all go away in 2 seconds. I mean, look at the people in the Bahamas with, you know, everything they have is poof gone. Can you imagine if you have it all and it's all gone? And see, this is what makes life for me, puts everything in perspective. I'm sure there was millionaires there. I'm sure there was people that are living in huts. It doesn't matter.
Right.
The hurricane does not alienate this or that. It just it levels everything. So it just tells you right there that you cannot put your hopes and dreams and everything in your career or your possessions or your home or your bank account. You only can put your hope in God and trust in Him to just work everything out. And I know His career was he's definitely on a great path right here and a great career, but In His eyes, He's saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I even make it past this or not. It doesn't matter anything. What matters is the platform. And for Him to be on the show and doing the show and talk just very confidently about the Lord and what He's done for Him, that's exactly, he's in the right place at the right time right there because He's using His platform to do something that's bigger than football. He's doing something that's bigger than anything he could ever do, which is use whatever you got, no matter what it is, to further the kingdom and talk about Jesus and what He's done for you.
That's why He says, and He explained, that's why I carry myself with confidence. That's why I feel strong, that because regardless of what happens to me in my NFL, because truth is the life expectancy for NFL careers is very short.
Absolutely,
It's 3-4 years. It's very short. There are guys who go 10, 12, 15. Those are rare. Those are hard to find. You're an NFL running back nowadays, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So he gets his confidence. He gets his strength from the Lord. And I think that's just a wonderful example for all of us out there that no matter what we're going through, to find the courage in the Lord. As Boston says, that's what He commanded us to be. And he references the verse in Joshua, which we've talked about a lot with other athletes too. He also said the bigger picture here is we know we're on a mission, and that's to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, and we do that using our platform. Yeah. As young as he is, and not being a star player yet, he could potentially be a star player at some point in his career, to understand that you don't have to be. See, sometimes people will think I have to be at the top of my profession. I have to win a Super Bowl and stand on a stage like Nick Foles and or Zach Ertz or Doug Peterson. But the truth is you don't have to. Those guys use their platform all the time,
absolutely,
especially Nick and Zach. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have that platform. If you're in the NFL, you have a platform. If you're not in the NFL, you have a platform. If you're not behind a microphone like I am, you have a platform.
Absolutely.
If you don't have a social media following, you still have a platform. That's
where if you're alive, you have a platform.
We go back to take Jesus to your marketplace.
Exactly.
We all have a platform.
Yeah.
Your platform is different than mine, different than his, different than it's all different. It's all and I think it's as he's saying here, you have confessed, you have claimed that you're a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to be looking to you to walk that walk. You have to really make sure that's something that you prioritize, and you have to be careful about how you carry yourself, and the slightest thing could throw you. And you've just got to be real careful, especially on that level, the platform that you do have. Now, that is something I think that's really important because people are always looking at you. When you're a professed bold Christian,
yes, a magnifying glass.
People are looking at you. They may not acknowledge you.
Mm-hmm.
They may resent you.
Yeah.
They may be jealous of you. They may love you. They may respect you, and they may admire you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, but they're looking at you.
Absolutely.
And it's really important to walk your talk And I think that's where, if you're caught up in going back to what we talked about in the beginning, if you're caught up in pleasing other people, it's hard to walk your talk, because sometimes you're going to just say things or do things to make other people happy.
Right. You're going to have, you're going to fall in that trap of, let me just look good for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then in the inside of you, you're, something is probably going to be eating away at you, because you're not really your true self and you're not being authentic. Yeah. And God just wants you to be authentic. In fact, he wants you to be so authentic to the point that if you make a mistake, just say, I'm sorry. And even publicly say, this was wrong. And just apologize and move on. But what is so wrong with people with platforms, or even just us, the people with just normal lives every day, is that they go and pretend to be someone that they're not, just to appear and please other people, and please people that can just kind of like go on their team and be on their side, when in reality that is not who they really are. But they're just willing to give up this false persona just to be someone that they're not, just to please those people, and to be and playing both sides of the fence. You cannot play both sides of the fence, because that's just not who you are. You cannot split yourself in half. Decide today who you are and whose you are, who you belong to. And then play on that field. You cannot play on both fields, because you will fail, and then you will have the identity crisis I was talking about. It's kind of go back to Moses. So Moses has identity crisis, basically. He was given to the Pharaoh's daughter. So he was brought up in the, he's brought up as an Egyptian. And at the same time, his identity was really a Jewish boy. So he had to decide right there when he grew up, am I going to be an Egyptian, or I'm going to serve my Jewish community? So he had to decide, am I going to give up royalty, because he was a royalty, he was brought up in a royalty, or am I going to be back to slavery? So, and he decided there, and then he's going to help his people come out of Egypt. Yeah. He helped his people. He decided, no, God is on my life. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve the shiny object and just become royalty by default, and just do, I want to do what God called me to do, which is take my people out of slavery and take them out of Egypt. So every day we have a choice. All of us, we have a choice. Are we going to the world? Are we going to serve the world and the shiny things? Or are we going to serve God and what he called us to do? Because the two things sometimes don't go together very well. So you have to decide every day what you're going to do with your life. And if God called you to do something, then stop playing both sides of the fence, because you can't do that. It's either you're right or you're wrong, or you're left or you're right.
It's a difficult conversation, and it's a consistent battle, I think, for all of us on a daily just in our daily lives, because when we're going through something, and all of us, the tendency is you want to be liked, you want to appeal to people, you don't want to be someone who is alienating and who is looked upon. We're different, you're different, and it depends on how you embrace that. So it's a challenge. It's certainly challenging if you're trying to, but it's a challenge that you cannot try, and goes back to being authentic and what you're saying. You cannot try to straddle both sides of the fence, pleasing the world and pleasing Christ, because pleasing Christ in this world requires you to take a hard stance. It requires you to sometimes stand up and say, no, that's not what I'm about. That's not what I want to do. That's not who I am. I don't want to project this image. This is who I am in Christ, and this is who I'm supposed to be, and this is how I'm supposed to live. And sometimes it means you have to separate yourself from the crowd. Sometimes it means you can't be associated in the same circles. And
I'm losing paychecks and losing friends.
Oh, gosh. Certainly.
You're going to lose something. But in the end, what are you trying to gain? Are you going to gain the world, or are you going to gain Jesus? Which one? But the funny thing is, when you gain Jesus, you gain everything. And you have your Heavenly Father watching over you, taking care of you, making ways for you that you could never dream of or imagine. So when we say you're gonna lose a paycheck, don't sit there and be sorry for yourself and cry. Yeah, things are going to be hard for a little bit. I mean, things are going to be hard for a little bit, but he's going to watch over you and you're going to see things and he's going to part waters for you. I mean, this is not just a saying. He really will part waters for you.
Listen, you and I can be a perfect example or testimony to people out there. If you stay humble, if you stay faithful, if you maintain your walk, and if you stay true to who you are in Christ, and sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes that requires you saying no to opportunities that look good to the world, or say no to paychecks, or just basically fame, fortune, and glory.
Right.
But if you stay true, you stay humble, you stay faithful, he finds a way.
Yeah.
He always provides. Mm-hmm. You may not see it. You may not see 2 years down the line.
Yeah.
You may not see 3 years down the line. We could talk all about things, and this could be another episode in a different show, but things that you and I have had to overcome and struggles, but we stay faithful.
Yeah.
And they're still there. There's still bumps in the road. Absolutely. There's still things. By no means is it perfect.
But I see things so different now.
Right.
I see things so different. Back then when we would say, no, I'm going to give up this for Jesus, or I'm going to give up that, and I see the struggle. I see my physical
eyes. We did it with blind faithfulness.
We really did. We were like, no, we know God will provide. And when you are
between. We've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it. And when you are between a rock and a hard place. That for real, he really does show up at the right time. And we're not saying just right time for you and me. It's the right time for him to show up, because there's a big difference. That's another story as well. You need to trust his timing. You need to trust what he has planned for you.
We're about out of time right now. I just want to say thank you to everyone who listens to the show, everyone who follows us. Thank you to our guest today, Eagles running back Boston Scott. A big thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Hoare, and huge thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does on our website, our podcast, our blog, everything he does to make us present better. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work you do behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. And we couldn't do this without our sponsors. So thank you to all of our sponsors. Please check them out at our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com. Follow them on social media. They are great company. And even better people. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, The King's Christian School, Center Square Tavern, California Closets, and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.